Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Thought we needed a rocker today. Remember Dave Baby Cortez? Yeah, we got a happy organ going there. It has nothing to do with the topic for today, but I just thought we needed some upper music because it's cold and, you know, and you're worried about your Christmas list. So consider this today, ladies and gentlemen, that join me every day for The Agenda. The Wenatchee Downtown Art Walk is coming once again, as it does the first Friday of every month. Neither rain nor sleet nor snow nor malaise nor confusion can divert the event. It's just an art walk that will not stop. The art walk is always held on date night. That's what you call Friday night, isn't it? Just why? Okay, why do it Friday night? Well, it's to increase the pleasure and the loving atmosphere that we find while strolling down the historical area known as Downtown, Old Town, My Town, Art Town, Apple Town, River Town, NCW Town, and so forth. Also, etc. Now, we've discussed the inexplicable process that creates art many times, and the process that makes artists and produces art-like environments. So please, don't feel uncomfortable if you're not an artist, because it's a process that's almost impossible to understand. For instance, when lawyers have a bad day, they still get paid, they go home, their client gets hauled off to the hooscow, but the lawyer goes home, takes a nice hot bath and recovers. With an artist, if the art doesn't come out, that's it, nothing. A rather noticeable lack of art, or more accurately, just nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing to hang on the wall, nothing to listen to, nothing to refer to. Even after repeated attempts, try it. You can hang nothing on the wall exactly zero times. So the notion of no art at all is something that we can't live with. The world would seem dull. The music would fade to silence. The dancing would come to a halt, and the non sequiturs would not even produce a snicker. And you know how I hate that. So in 20 seconds or less, the world without art becomes unlivable, actually too harsh for words. So put that nonsense aside. Grab your main squeeze by the arm and walk confidently in a world of artists making art to lighten our load, to grease the skids, maybe even to reveal at last who truly built the Great Pyramids and what craftsman tools they used. Whether the ancient civilization actually advanced to this part of our life because of the Phillips screwdriver, which is my guess, although we'll never know. And now, with those words behind us, I want to introduce you to two of our special guests to start the show with. Sue Kane and Jeannie Poyer are here. We're going to talk about a film coming to town this Sunday called
The Human Element.
The Human Element. Get up closer to your microphones, ladies. There you go. Thank you very much. Sue Kane and Jeannie Poyer, you're volunteers with the organization called 350 Wenatchee, right?
That's correct.
How'd you guys get that name?
350 is a global, international operation, and they've been around since about the mid-80s, and we became an affiliation in Wenatchee a year ago in November.
And the idea of 350 Wenatchee is to what?
To slow down global warming. 350 is 350 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which we passed in the mid-80s, and we are hitting over 410 now.
Now, for the individual on Miller who just changed lanes involuntarily, what do you say to someone who doesn't even believe in global warming? What do you do to reassure them that perhaps they're wrong? Or what have they ever said to you to convince you that perhaps you're wrong?
I would say, does it really matter if either one of us are wrong? Because if we did get away from more fossil fuel new developments and went to renewable energy, would it hurt anything? It would boost our economy. It would make the future more livable. So even if we disagree, why not give it a try?
Of course, I'm from California, where our state burns down every winter, and I don't know how many parts per million we have to have before we come to an agreement that what in the world is going to stop those fires from burning or the earthquakes from rattling or the eventualities as the planet changes. We have to change with it.
Correct. Hopefully they're talking about that at COP24.
Now, let's talk about this movie called
The Human Element.
Oh, The Human Element. Okay, what's it about?
It's a beautiful film by James Balog, who is an excellent photographer. He did a documentary called Chasing Ice some years ago. And this movie talks about the elements of fire, water, air, and earth and then it adds.
I've heard of those elements referred to before.
Yes, and what?
Those are rather important elements.
Yes, they are.
Fundamental, in fact.
Yes, yeah. They are, and they're becoming out of balance because of the human element.
It was described to me that the planet doesn't need saving. We just have to leave it alone and it'll save itself. What do you think about that idea?
I don't know that that would work.
Well, leaving it alone would certainly stop all of our current activity on this planet. It would imply that the human element would have to cease and desist. I don't mean cease existing,
okay.
But we may have to live in yurts for a while for the planet to reset itself. And there's no guarantee, really, either. I mean, there's a level of confusion and fear around this that's got some people to the point where they won't even discuss the problem or the topic or even admit that it is a topic.
I think that's correct. And my own personal belief that is, I believe, substantiated by scientists, is that we are just beginning to see the initial scratches of climate change, and that there is at least 30 more years if we were to stop everything now and try to balance out the carbons, the fossil fuels, emissions right now, that we have got about 30 more years before where we're at right now catches up with us. So that's a big part of the reason of the latest IPCC report.
What's IPCC?
The International Panel of Climate Change.
Okay. And those are scientists that we can rely upon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, yes, they say we've got about really 10, 12 years before we reach a tipping point that we're not going to be able to recover from grace.
I wish I knew more about this. I always wanted to know, one, what started the Ice Age and how it became, because there weren't enough people around to affect the changes that were going on then, but there were a number of inhabitants on the planet. You know, there were flora and fauna that may have had something to do with it. I'm not saying that's the case. But I always wanted to know what started the Ice Age. And then, I'm really even more curious, what stopped it? Because there was nothing in its path. Have you ever been to Michigan?
Yes.
I went to Michigan and I was on a clover leaf on the freeway. When you come to the top of that clover leaf, you can see all of Michigan from a height of 100 feet because the glaciers scraped that entire state flat as a pancake. There's not a mound or a molehill anywhere in the state of Michigan. There's lots of lakes,
mm-hmm.
But it's flat, and we can thank the glaciers for that. And if you look at it from that point of view, you say, think of the power that completely transformed all of the Midwest and did it effortlessly, and then just retreated. And now, if you want to go see what did it, you had to travel all the way to Hudson Bay to get a look at the powers that were at work on the planet at that time.
So what you're saying is that there's always been times of climate change.
Drastic.
But one of the things that is different this time is how quickly this came, and how we can point to when the industrialization started, and now the changes that have happened are not a typical natural consequence.
So the ghastly Charles Dickens version of the Industrial Revolution began when, 1820? 1810?
I'm not a date person.
1760? Okay,
yeah.
But the American Revolution was 1776. Mm-hmm. The onset of the Industrial Revolution was for the most part in England and Europe. Mm-hmm. 50 years later?
Mm-hmm.
So in just that short period of time, we poisoned the air, ruined the planet, and sent the platypus begging for help to some other planet.
One of the things about this film is it brings some things, you know, that I'd never thought about before. And just, for example, how, you know, when we look out in the sky, it just seems infinite.
Well, it is infinite,
but
according to those who have measured it.
But yeah. When you look at the atmosphere that we're breathing, it's not that big, you know, and we are filling it up with these gases that shouldn't be there.
The depth of our planetary atmosphere is comparatively very small,
mm-hmm.
compared to the size of the planet or anything else in the solar system.
And I never thought of that.
It's very, very tiny. In fact, it's a feature of our planet that most planets don't have.
Mm-hmm.
They simply, they don't have the ability to hold an atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So we're lucky that our size and our gravity make it possible.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we can't always see what all we're putting into it and what's there that shouldn't be there.
When you saw this movie, were you encouraged, depressed, or maybe none of the above?
very concerned, especially concerned about the future for, you know, I have wonderful grandchildren, and many of us do, but I'm really concerned about where we're going.
When did you join 350 Wenatchee, and why?
I've been involved about 2 years, and I mainly got involved because my husband is very interested and concerned in this, and it wasn't until I retired that I could put more time into this.
So it was sort of a family decision.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so.
How about you, Jeannie?
I read Tim Flannery's Weathermaker's book in the 1980s and felt that that book really nailed what climate change was about. I still have my 1972 first Earth sign for the first Earth March.
Oh, was it the first Earth Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I still have the sign from that. So it's been on my mind always, but particularly in the last 4 to 5 years, I've become quite an activist around it.
And has your activism paid off to you? Do you feel personally like you're doing the right thing?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Oftentimes activism can challenge you, challenge your beliefs, challenge your courage.
Well, it does challenge my courage, but I feel that it's important, and I appreciate all the people in Wenatchee who are concerned about climate and do what they can every day.
I like stories that provide a warning, but I don't like the idea that to answer any problem on our planet, we have to get organized. That to me is one of the most daunting elements. Well, I mean, look at the...
Yep.
So look at who we are. Right. And it would be just perfect for us to get totally, even get the French and the Chinese on board. And then, mm-hmm. And then where are the Americans? Well, they're not answering the phone. And that's, we are of so many opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the funny thing about opinions in America that I like, that I really am amused by, is that people come to the conclusion that if they believe something, doesn't matter what it is, it can be a religious belief, a scientific belief, a belief, something picked up in a book, something their child told them, something they heard when they were with their friends. And they grasp onto one little element of what they believe is truth and believe that. And that sort of gives them comfort. The facts won't do it. Science won't do it. Results won't do it. Proof won't do it. Belief is more important to a lot of Americans than all those things. Have you noticed?
Interesting.
Well, that's another reason to come and watch this film, because there is actual evidence, places that, you know, it's really focused here in the United States of the changes that have already started to happen. And that if you don't believe it, come and see, because, you know, Norfolk, Virginia, they're really concerned about what's going on. In fact, there is a climate change concern report from the Navy.
Yeah. You know. Well, the East Coast was one of the first that was considered most vulnerable because of the nature of the seaboard.
Mm-hmm.
It's more vulnerable to high tide than is the western seaboard, or western coast, I should say. Tell us when and where. It's this Sunday, December 9th, 1 to 3, Social Hall. You tell me.
That's correct. It's this coming Sunday, December 9th, in the Social Hall of the Wenatchee Community Center. And it's 1 to 3 p.m.
And it's free.
That's 504 Sasha Land. Yeah, okay. That's really interesting. It's called A Human Element. The film is free Sunday, December 9th, 1 o'clock at the Social Hall, Wenatchee Community Center, is at 504 South Chelan Avenue. Sue Kane and Jeannie Poyer, thanks so much for coming by. I appreciate your time. Want to change gears now? You want to hang around for our talk? You're welcome to.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
News Radio 560 KPQ, we have 36 degrees here in Wenatchee Town, and our friend Ron Evans is here from the radar station. We're discussing once again, I mean, it happens once a month, but it seems like it happens sometimes once a week, or sometimes it seems like it only happens once a year, depending on how my mind reminds myself that it's time. But Ron, welcome back for Art Walk.
Thank you for having me back. I'm so thrilled to see that you're back in that beautiful blue sweater.
It's cold out there.
I make way too big of a deal over this. I realize that. And this is radio, so you can't enjoy it at home. But it brings out your blue eyes, as we've mentioned before, which are not blue at all.
Which are brown. That's how, this is some sweater.
Yeah.
It even brings out your blue eyes, which are also brown.
Yeah. Well, something cosmic and paranormal is happening with that sweater.
Well, that brings us right back to Art Walk, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Those who create out of nothing something.
something out of nothing.
What's on your list for the big, what's happening to your place tomorrow night?
At Radar Station, we've got, actually, I've got some of my own paintings on display for the first time. I mean, I've always had some stuff up there, and I've been part of the group shows over the years, but this is the first time that I've got a whole wall of just my own paintings since I opened Radar Station 4 years ago in my house.
What makes you paint? What makes you stop and say, hold it, I'll call you back, I have an idea?
I'm always painting. I'm always working on something. So I guess what makes me compulsive to work on something, I don't know. But painting is just one of the many things that I do. And it's, for whatever reason, as I'm sure we've talked about before, painting seems to get the most attention in the art world. And it just kind of, it makes sense for galleries. But paintings and sculpture seem to be what get people excited in the fine art world, as it were. But we've also got a jewelry show. Sarah Sims from Third Eye Designs is going to be there. And so it's basically a joint show between her and I. And she's going to be doing her eco-friendly jewelry, really good quality handmade stuff. And the show is called Earth, Sea, Space, because she's grounded in earth-friendly things and metals and stuff.
So that only leaves out air, right? Earth, sea...
Well, who needs air?
I don't know.
Well, technically,
we're... To be determined later.
Technically, we're in space, so I suppose it's kind of a stupid title anyway. But I only do... The only reason I do anything is so I can give it a stupid title.
I like it.
Yeah, me too.
Because you excel at that.
I excel at stupid titles. Thank
well,
you.
Themes mm-hmm. and giving people weird names. Like you sometimes say... If leave a message, I'll try and get back to you if the humans help me. If the robots take control, however, don't expect a call.
They almost never let me go, by the way. It's not me, you know, being flaky on getting back.
Shouldn't the robots be working for you? But it's turned out to be just the opposite.
Oh, we think we're clever with the way the robots work. We've learned nothing from Skynet. Somebody brilliantly edited together one of those videos of the DARPA robots. You know, they're getting bigger and better and more powerful. But one of the things they do to test them is they, like, hit them with sticks. They knock them over to see if they can right themselves back up.
Right.
And they got these built-in stabilizers. So to test those, you basically have to beat the hell out of them. And then so it's like this brilliant compilation of all of these humans bashing robots, and then it just ends with Skynet, like the battlefield in Terminator when the Terminators have taken over. I don't know. I wish I would have done that, but it's brilliant. But I'm a firm believer that the robots are only going to work for us so long.
There's another show on right now on Sci-Fi Channel called Night Flyers. Have you heard about it?
No.
It's a George R.R. Martin novella where these guys are in space and they have a job to go deep into space and to do a job. But it turns out that the mother of the captain of the ship, her spirit takes over the ship and runs it. She controls the robots. She controls the direction. She controls navigation. She controls the individual thoughts of the people on board. She can create hallucinations.
Yeah.
It's quite something.
Well, that's where we're headed. We all know that the next version of our iPhones are going to be in our brains. Like, we're not going to settle for this carpal tunnel business for much longer.
So we just fasten the phone to the side of our head.
Well, duct tape works for now, I suppose, if you want to skip to the future. We've got so much to cover, though. This is, as far as I know, as far as I've been involved with First Friday, this has to be the biggest walk we've got. I think there's like 17 venues here.
It could be the last one before the snow, according to the weatherman.
Yeah, we're getting it all out. Well, it seems to go. It seems to carry on, even if the snow's happening. People do bundle up and they go enjoy their wine and they take in some art. But Gypsy Lotus is featuring the paintings and jewelry. It's a lot of jewelry on this art walk, which is great because those make great Christmas gifts. So even if you're not into the whole painting thing and sculptures and you don't get the art world, everyone gets jewelry.
Sure they
do. So come out and buy some pretty stuff. Jamie had a really successful show at Radar Station, sort of a pop-up show a couple weeks ago, and a lot of people were bummed that they couldn't make it out to it. So if you missed that, this is your second chance to see her work in person, and that's at Gypsy Lotus. And the Mission Street Commons is a they're holding Vonda Dries. She's going to be, they're not holding her.
It seems like
they may be holding her, like my robots will hold me if I'm getting back my voicemails. But she's going to be displaying a lot of her journals. She does a lot of journal work.
She's got plenty of time to journal. She's being held by robots.
When you're being held prisoner at the Mission Street Commons, you got time to bust out a journal or two? Yeah. Like that. Now, the Mac Gallery's got something interesting. They do, I don't know if this is an annual thing, but they've done it several times. They do their faculty exhibition. So we just did a write-up. I was talking with Scott Bailey for the Comet magazine, and I titled that interview, The Judges Become the Judged. And I like this aspect. I like the idea of, I mean, there's a lot to be gained from a show like this. But I like that aspect of it, that they can kind of sit back and experience. And most of these people are working artists, you know, most of the faculty. They're pursuing their own creative endeavors. But it's probably a good reminder for them as well as anyone else that, yeah, we're still artists ourselves. We teach and we nurture and we curate shows, but we also put out our own thing. And I think it's a good way to inspire their students.
And it's nice to know that somebody grading you is at least able to draw a circle without the aid of a protractor.
Yeah, well, I just like that they're putting their work out there. That's a lot of the problem. That's a lot of the difficulty that I have curating shows at Radar Station. When I find talent, you try to pull it out of them. It's like, you got to put your stuff out there. Your stuff is really good.
I'm not ready to show anything.
They're not ready. there's a fear. Of course there's a fear. I mean, it is nerve-wracking to put anything out there, whether it's a song or a poem or getting up for an open mic. Whatever you're doing, putting your stuff out there, it is sort of asking to be judged, and a lot of us don't want to be judged. So I like that aspect of it, that the teachers are saying, you know, we're vulnerable too. Come throw stones at us.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that people who do the judging finally get judged on their own. It's good to feel that for a change.
Yeah, I think it's a good camaraderie exercise, if nothing else. But Tumbleweed is featuring Tumbleweed, which I like. That's a shop that's been around. I just ran into the owners last night, and we were talking about their business. And I mean, now that I'm a small business owner, I'm impressed when somebody lasts 6 months. It's hard.
It's tough.
It's really, really, really hard. And they've been around for years, and they just seem to be doing great. Like every time I go in there, it feels good. It's cozy. They got new stuff, but it's the same environment. They just do it right.
And she has a lot of things in there.
Yeah.
Notions of all sorts.
Mm-hmm.
Art pieces, clothing, this and that.
I'm pretty broke right now, and I had to dish out some cash for a candle there the other day because I couldn't.
You couldn't go by it.
It couldn't be unsmelled, Michael Knight. When I walked by that candle, it was like a hug.
And was it
from a deceased loved one? Is that creepy? I don't know.
It is a little, but it's interesting. And then what does she say? Yeah. But flavor or what scent is the candle? We're so impressed.
To me, it smells like the spirit of Christmas. So maybe it's a dead loved one from, you know, that really got behind the holidays. It's kind of a piney. I like foresty stuff and manly smelling candles, if that makes sense. Like, I like candles that smell like old men's cologne. I'm really painting myself to be a creep here.
You've got a lot of explaining to do, but I'm not going to ask you to do it here.
Yeah, well.
Well, what's else on your list for people who should be visited on Art Night tomorrow night?
Well, we've got a brand new place as far as I know. I haven't seen this place on the list, or I've forgotten about it, but Designer Floors has gotten in on First Friday.
And good for them.
They're featuring Ginger Eddington, doing some, looks like 3D outlining, clear acrylic finishes over the acrylic paints. So,
something you can put on the floor.
Possibly. I've painted on my floors at home.
You know who used to do that? Ken Kesey. He had a kitchen down in where he lived not far from, was it Eugene? I think so. He had a farm not far from Eugene. And they would paint on the floor. And you would walk into the kitchen and there's Ken Kesey on his side.
Mm-hmm.
Redoing some patina on something that he painted years ago, or new people who came over. Ken, what are you doing? Painting the floor?
Yeah. It's not quite as glorious as the Sistine Chapel, but it's got the same effect if you just got to look down. I've only done rudimentary painting. Like, I painted a checkerboard pattern on my old linoleum in my kitchen.
I approve.
I couldn't pull it up because it's got asbestos in it. And asbestos, I know, that'll kill you.
You'll be a goner.
And we'll be a goner.
And we need
to say that right in the bottom of the asbestos label.
at the bottom of the bag.
Yes,
if you've read this far, you're probably going to be a goner.
It gets my attention. Mela is featuring Karen Dawn Dean. This is her fourth exhibition at Mela. And she's doing some abstract-looking work, but they are all based on botanicals, leaves and flowers and such. And we interviewed her for the Comet as well, and we got some of her process. And it's really interesting. It's going to be an interesting show. I like when you can make art from nature. Yeah, I mean, that's how they always used to do it. You know, now, of course, we have acrylics and synthetic everything. But to just go out in nature and find some shapes, find something that casts color.
Or find the color you're looking for. I know it's hard to find a good red in nature, but how do they find blue? Where does blue come from in nature?
Only the sweater. All they have to do is walk by you, and they will have blue. It's a magic sweater, I'm telling you. I've got blue in my hand. Look at this.
I know some people over at Lapis Lazuli Sweaters, and they send me this. They send me a new one every year.
Mm-hmm. Is that near the Galapagos?
It's not far from there. You can swim.
Yes, of course.
Swim from the Galapagos to Lapis Lazuli Island.
Two Rivers is featuring paintings of Brad Brisbane? I think it's Brisbane.
Okay, Brad, whatever you want.
Sounds like a good writer's name.
Brisbane.
Like Cavendish.
There you go.
I feel like anyone named Cavendish should smoke a pipe and write.
They had gravitas.
Yeah, someone named Brisbane should be smoking a
pipe. How about Brisbane Cavendish? There's a good name for you.
No,
too much?
See, too pretentious.
Okay,
no,
sorry.
Too pretentious. I won't read his work.
Won't even read the introduction.
I won't. Not even.
By the way, do you read introductions or do you skip that when you start a new book?
I always skip it. That's an interesting question.
I do too. What's the deal about that?
Yeah.
Why don't I want to read it? I've picked up this book and I intend to read it. And I go right by the first 20 pages and get to chapter one.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a slow reader. I average about 3 to 4 pages a week. So I am always in a bit of a hurry. I'm one of those guys with that. I just want to get through the thing. So
get me to the good stuff.
I'm an impatient reader, even though I read slowly. But I get it that people want to devour every word and they want to break it down and the footnotes. And I do have a Don Quixote version that is loaded with footnotes, like the Bible would be.
Oh, wow.
And that was disorienting but fascinating because sometimes you would, I mean, that's a meandering story in general, like Canterbury Tales. It goes all over the place.
People who write with footnotes, though, usually use a lot of them.
A lot there's a lot.
Once they get going, they can't help it.
It's about a 20,000-page book now. But it was fascinating, the stories behind the stories and references to things that really make the little mini-stories more potent. So I got into that. But, yeah, the foreword or... There I was, on the couch with my dog. And
you may ask why I began this problem.
And I done thunk this story up. I don't care. I don't really care.
That's Ron Evans. He's with the radar station. What's the address there?
115 South Wenatchee Ave.
You can go by to see him 4 o'clock this afternoon. But tomorrow's the art walk, and that's what we're talking about. We'll be back right after this on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Construction.com. Bethlehem Construction is an equal opportunity employer.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
35 degrees outside at News Radio 560 KPQ. It's kind of a chilly day here in town, but tomorrow we ask you to put on your woolly knickers, your parka, and on Friday night join us for Art Walk, all wandering around downtown enjoying everything. Where would you start, Ron? I guess start at the radar station, right?
Well, yeah. It always seems to make more sense to end at the radar station.
You heard him.
Tomfoolery. One, we're kind of at the end of town. You know, we in the museum are kind of makes sense to be the last stop, or at least somewhere in that area. Lamolo, Cafe Mela, those are centrally located, and that's a good place to pick yourself up one of these little guides.
Get yourself a coffee or a root beer and proceed.
Get yourself something to drink. Yeah, it is chilly, so you're going to want maybe a hot cider or a good wine to warm you up.
That sounds good, hot cider.
Yeah, and by the way, we talk all the time about how this is an art walk, but we, of course, have the Robert Graves Gallery and the Mack Gallery, and at one point, Radar Station was all the way out in East Wenatchee. But Link is now offering free service to... Now, I'm not sure the details of this. Maybe get on their website or give them a call if you have questions. But I know that they're offering free rides for First Friday, which
I like
is
that.
Really generous. And it's going to, I think, help out with that bit of a problem because we do want it to be something that everyone can at least try to hit. Good luck with this.
Because most of it's downtown, but if you want to get to the galleries at the college or elsewhere, Link will get you there.
Or if you're just not feeling like strolling from one end of the town to
go
the
bussing.
Other. It's only a few minutes to get from Lamolo to Radar Station on foot. But, you know, they're going to be out and about, and it's free. May as well take advantage of that. And
you can catch it right downtown.
Yeah, especially great news for, you know, heading up to the Mac and get you back down here to end the night with the beer or wine at Radar Station.
Because you guys stay open a little later than some of the other establishments.
Yeah, we're usually open, and we often have after-hours things going on, whether it's a movie or entertainment. We don't have anything scheduled for this Friday. But
the Radar Station is the answer to the question that I first asked myself when I got here. I said, where are the
Weirdos.
We're the hipsters. Yeah, we're the hipsters. Weirdos. Yeah. We're the people who don't fit who want to fit together. Mm-hmm. Now I know.
Yeah.
They're not together. They're in some other town.
The Odd Puzzles.
They're in Washtucna.
You know, I once drove to a town for a family reunion called Wainuchi, and it's over on the coast, the Olympic Peninsula, about a three-hour drive. And I thought, what are the odds that I'm driving from Wainuchi to Wainuchi, and that's a three-hour trip?
A three-hour trip.
Pan's Grotto has another fun theme this month. They're doing a wizardly Christmas, and they have described as from chocolate frogs to mythical creatures.
Ooh.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
I'm think long and hard before you eat a mythical creature, because they can. There's the actual act of eating it that can be disturbing, and then there's the aftermath, which can be unpredictable.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you want to eat the mythical creature. I definitely would like to eat me a chocolate frog.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, I don't know if they're dipped frogs. The real frogs dipped in chocolate, which
actual tiny little green tree frogs that are only this big.
I'm guessing they
dip them into chocolate.
Don't quote me on that. There's no details here.
Dark chocolate, I would predict. It's healthier for you. Sort of balanced with the protein you're going to get from the frog itself.
It's only a matter of time before you have green chocolate, right? Hemp infused. Well, I know we have hemp infused everything, but
I think you're right. It's only a matter of time.
Green chocolate has a nice ring to it. Speaking of the Robert Graves Gallery, they're featuring the contemporary abstract work of Robert Wilson, you know, one of the biggest and bestest in the area. And I always like to remind people he is Rainn Wilson's father, Dwight from The Office.
Totally local.
When you see him, you can see the resemblance.
He did a show where he was a police investigator from Portland. Do you remember that series? I can't remember it now. It was really, really well done, and I loved it. It didn't only last maybe two seasons.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm way behind on everything. I'm a small business owner, and I don't get to go home. And you heard my voicemail. The robots keep me prisoner, even when I do.
And that turns out to be the truth. That's why Ron has to leave us now. The robots are at the door, and they're giving me that look, you know, where their little metal finger is pointing to their wrist as if they were wearing a watch, but they don't. They have internal clocks.
Really just a laser.
Ron, have a great art walk. We'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
See you in 1 month, in fact.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.